You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, it's good to be back after 15 years. Oh, a lot has happened in our lives, and a lot has happened in your life as well. Coming into this building and seeing changes behind me with all sorts of fancy stuff behind me, changes in terms of the building and the extension, exciting things that have been going on here in the life of the community. For us as a family, you might have heard, but I'll confirm it, we've moved to Bletchley, Milton Keynes, that apparently it's a sense supposed to be the centre of the universe, the brand new city. And we've seen both our girls now begin at university. I still remember the reason I had for missing my very first deacon's meeting here as minister in training, because it was Katie had just been born. And I'd never been able to repeat it, thank goodness. But hey, that was a brilliant excuse I had for missing my first deacon's meeting. Sorry, but I've got to be at the hospital because my daughter's just been born. And now they're both at uni. One in a third year at Norwich, and the other just starting at University of York, studying of all things politics and international relations. So interesting time for her to be going to do that. And as I say, moving as well, and with lots of other things happening, 2016 has been a busy year for us, but it's been a busy year for you as church, celebrating 60 years of God's faithfulness, of God being with you. It's interesting to hear Gavin talk about the Good Neighbours Scheme and Hope Coventry, because in this sort of in the half-term week in Milton Keynes, Hope MK happened, and in Milton Keynes that meant that there were something like 13 projects around the city based in different churches with something like 150 young people who'd been trained up, who were encouraged and were going out doing all sorts of things around the city, whether it was gardening type things, whether it was going out in street evangelism, blessing, or whether it was rather like at the church where I am now at Wadden Way running a community drop-in. There were all sorts of things happening. So I would echo Gavin's words. It is good when brethren, when the Christian community comes together, putting aside labels, serving the people in love. It can and does make a difference. So with this year of celebration coming to an end, what next? Because I guess this has been a year of momentum. Things have been going on and happening. But what next? Because come 2017, it won't be the 60th anniversary anymore. So what happens next? And amidst everything else, as I was preparing for this visit, I returned to what for me has been a passage that has kept popping up, in quotes, coincidence at significant times in terms of events. At my baptism, but also at other times when I needed reminding of my significance to God and calling. And I've got to the point where I need one of these Bibles, and so I thank God for the present you gave me when I left you, because I'm now getting to the point where actually I need it, because I've reached that certain age where the optician tells me that my glasses prescription really could do with varifocals, but I'm resisting it. So I need the larger print to be able to look and see what's going on. So, Isaiah 43 is the passage I've chosen. As I say, came to me first of all at my baptism and has kept coming back, reminding me of God's love and God's call. And, Maurice, if we've got a slide to begin with. Okay, I've come, fear not, why? And as I say, you keep hearing this phrase, fear not or do not be afraid, right throughout the Bible. And as I reminded folk at Wadden Way when we explored the theme of new beginnings, as I started there, it happens in the book of Joshua. Be brave and courageous. Not once, not twice, but three times. And you don't say that sort of thing to people who are fine, who have no problem with bravery or courage. You say it to people that are struggling with fear or do struggle to be brave. And why in this passage in Isaiah? Well, if you just quickly glance back through Isaiah, you'll see that God's people have been scattered all over the place. There's been judgment. There's been exile as a result of the people's ignoring God's warnings time and time again through the prophets. But now we're coming to a section in Isaiah where there are signs of hope. Just back in Isaiah 35, there's this picture of the desert coming to life and all sorts of transformation happening. Wonderful. As well as the command at the beginning of chapter 40 to comfort my people. Why this continual encouragement? Well, I've come up with two possibilities, and I'm sure there are more in regard to why God continually says, fear not, don't be afraid. And as you can see with the first picture, I've turned to popular culture. And being a bit of a sci-fi geek for my sins, that for me means Yoda. And Yoda, have we gone on? Oh, that's it, Yoda, there we go. Okay, in one of the Star Wars films, okay, Yoda makes a classic comment about fear because he sees fear in young Anakin and he challenges him with the following comment. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And you might think, hang on, Steve, why are you quoting Star Wars at us when actually, is it really true? Just take a look around, look around the world and see what's going on. See how people are reacting out of fear. And it is leading to hate. It is leading to suffering. Whether it's fear of the others, because they've got a different label from us. In the Muslim world, oh, it's Shia or it's Sunni. Or in the United States, it's Republican and Democrat. And the list could go on, sadly. Labels are helpful in defining people. I'll give you that. Because they're a useful shorthand. Oh, yes, Fred is a so-and-so, or Jane is, it helps you sort of understand a little bit about them. So when you meet them, you can have a starting point for your conversation and your relationship. But the trouble is, they can also divide. And then, as I say, they can also then lead to fear and all the rest. Fear of the other, fear of the difference. So my challenge would be to you, whenever we sense that our reactions, whenever I sense my reaction is guided by fear, then we need to come to the God whose perfect love casts out fear. Because, of course, the thing is, fear can also provoke another equally powerful reaction, one that I alluded to when I talked about my acrophobia. And if we could have the next picture up, please, Morris. Yes, the rock climbing. I've never quite got like that in my rock climbing. For me, it was rather more mundane. And I sort of remember an experience I had when I first came to this city. I wasn't a follower of Jesus. I started working for GC Telecommunications, as it was, before it got transformed to GEC Plessy. And what is it now? Is it still Plessy Telecommunications? It hasn't changed its name again? Or whatever. But anyway, they had this wonderful idea with all these new graduates of sending them on a bonding week together, doing all sorts of weird and wonderful things. One of the activities was rock climbing. As I say, it wasn't quite that adventurous. It was just a rock face, straight forward, straight up, where you had a helmet, where you had the rope, And despite all of that, I still froze three times on the way up. My brain knew I was safe. The trouble was, my heart didn't. And as I say, that acrophobia got hold of me and I could not move. And everyone had to encourage me, and eventually I managed to get to the top. But you see, God does not want us to be living in a state of fear for both those reasons. Whether it be because fear causes us to react in hate and anger and then suffering, or whether fear paralyzes us, stops us doing what God calls us to do, to reach out to others, to show them his love in all sorts of ways. Because either way, it prevents us from living life in all its fullness. Morris, if you could just put that, that's it. Jesus' words, I have come that they might have life and life in all its fullness. John chapter 10, if you want to check it out for yourself, and the context of that. Fear and life in all its fullness don't fit. But the trouble is, so often we're governed by the fear and not by the invitation that Jesus offers to us of life in all its fullness. That, dare I say, quite often it involves change, involves a journeying from point A to point B when we don't know what's going to happen between point A and point B. I'm sure as a church you've perhaps found that as you know, new folk have come in and started leading you and you thought, hang on a minute, what's happening with all these changes? Oh, scary. What's going to happen next? What are we going to be asked to do next? What's God going to lead us on to? But you see, that's the thing. Jesus says, I have come that might have life and life in all its fullness. Fear doesn't come into that, or it shouldn't do. How do we respond in that regard? Well, one thing is, when we realize the impact of all that's been achieved on our behalf, then that is what motivates this journey, this transformation. And Morris, if you just want to move us on to the next slide. You see, we have been redeemed, God says in Isaiah 43. Fear not, why? For I have redeemed you. He reminds them of their name. He created you, O Jacob. He formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've bought you back at a huge price. I've paid the ultimate cost. Paul puts it in Romans chapter 7. We're in a state that someone needed to redeem us from. Slavery to sin. As he puts it when he goes on later in Romans, I do the things I know I shouldn't do, and the things I know I should do, I can't. I don't end up doing. If we're honest, each of us have known that in our lives. We've done something, and then later on we thought, why on earth did I do that? Say that thing I shouldn't have said, do that thing I shouldn't have done, hurt that person. Why did I do that? Maybe I reacted out of fear. Or maybe I didn't do the thing I knew God was calling me to do. Make that phone call, go and see that person, restore that relationship. Why? Well, I just didn't get around to it. And again, maybe fear was part of the reasoning behind that. But we have been redeemed, bought back at a great cost, given, if you like, a sort of gift card, if you want to sort of, a free gift card. I'm sure each of us have had one of those when somebody hasn't quite known what to buy us for Christmas or a birthday. You know, it's 9 times out of 10, it seems to be blokes buying for blokes that seems to be the problem, doesn't it? Ladies are fine, you can buy lots of things for them. But for blokes, what do you buy? So we'll buy you a gift card and put some money on it and you can buy what you want. And that's great to have a gift card. Wonderful thing. But the thing is, with a gift card, you need to actually redeem it. You need to actually take the price that's been paid and actually say, I'd like to buy this. There's a story apparently about Crowfoot, the chief of the Blackfoot Indians back in the 1800s. And that when there was negotiation for the railway to go across Canada. And he said, yeah, okay, that can happen. And as a result, from the Canadian Pacific Railway, he had a wonderful gift. A gift that he carried around his neck in a wonderful leather case. Fantastic. It was a free lifetime railway pass. Wonderful. Slight problem. Because the story goes that apparently there was no evidence that this pass was ever used. There was no evidence that this pass was ever used. And for those of us that know about God's love, that know about what Jesus did on the cross, in terms of purchasing our forgiveness, in terms of dying in our place, in terms of all the other wonderful phrases we can talk about that the cross achieved, if we've never actually said, you know what? I want to take advantage of that redemption for myself. I don't want to rely on my mum's, my dad's, my brother's, my sister's, whoever it is, redemption on my behalf. I want to claim it for me. I want to make it mine. If we've never done that, then it's rather like having one of those gift cards and never actually getting round to taking it to the shop to claim it. Because I'm sure we would never do anything like having a gift card and never using it, would we? But apparently there's anecdotal evidence, again, courtesy of that search machine called begins with G, that loads of these gift cards, from an American source, apparently $1 billion worth of unclaimed gift cards. $1 billion worth. That is an awful lot of stuff that has not been claimed. But in the spiritual sense, if we've heard about Jesus' love for us, we know what he's done for us, and yet we haven't got around to actually responding, I haven't actually got around to saying to Jesus, yes, thank you, I want that life in all its fullness to be mine, then we're doing the same. So if you're here this morning and actually you've never got around to it, then perhaps today's the day. But you see, the price for us has been paid in full. And that's the next sort of prompt. Paid in full by Jesus. And I think I've got my spelling wrong there on the tetelestai. But Jesus' last words on the cross, which in our Bible are translated, paid, it is finished. Apparently, the phrase used also was used on the bills in the marketplaces at the time of Jesus, stamped across them, tetelestai. And there it didn't mean it is finished. There it meant this bill has been dealt with. The price has been paid in full. And so here's the question. Am I willing to humble myself, yourself, ourselves, that actually I can't pay my bill in terms of sin that I've got that blocks my way to God. I can't pay that for myself. I can't deal with it. I can't earn my forgiveness. I can never be good enough. This is grace, mercy, a gift, but one that's been acknowledged. Most gifts, of course, we sort of write a little list and we'll say, actually, I want this. Both of our daughters, as they're growing up, came up with nice long lists, especially one of them, about I'd like this, 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 and this. I'm sure you've never had the experience of children doing lists like that, have you? But ours did. But this gift that God offers through Jesus, maybe not the gift we first thought of that we needed or wanted, but actually God knows we do need it. So the thing is, I wonder, are we willing, am I willing, are you willing today to humble yourself and actually say, God, I need your gift of forgiveness, of new life for myself. Because actually I've allowed my heart to be humbled. One of the first people I had the privilege of baptizing when I moved to Shefford was a lady who was a very organized person, extremely efficient, and all sorted. She was a salesperson, So she was good at speaking and convincing and encouraging others. And but then as she was preparing to be baptized, she made this point that actually being baptized for her was rather humiliating, because it was giving over control to somebody else. Because that's what happens when you're baptized, as by immersion. You're sort of standing there allowing somebody else to baptize you, to lower you into the water and bring you out, as a way of publicly saying, actually, I'm giving over control of my life to Jesus. I want him to be number one. So what about you? Are you here today as someone who said yes to Jesus, but not followed him through the waters of baptism? So I just want to echo Sue's comments. It's great that you're holding another baptismal service, and as I've been watching, I've been really encouraged to see the number of baptism services and number of people being baptized going up. Fantastic. But there's always room for more. So if you're here today as someone who said yes to following Jesus, but you've never actually got to the point of saying, and I want to be baptized, to declare that publicly, what about it? I'm moving on quickly because I'm looking at the clock behind in front of me. And if that is not enough, yes, we God calls us to fear not. Yes, we've been redeemed. And also we're known by name, not by number. And there's loads of different numbers, if you just want to flick those up, Morris, as the different numbers that there are. Okay, there are loads of numbers that you are known by in life, aren't you? I mean, I can certainly still quote my national insurance number, NB69 9640C. Part of the reason for that is I had to quote it so many times when I was unemployed and went into the unemployment office. One of the most dehumanizing experiences I've ever had. And that's what being a number does to you. It makes you less of a person when you're known as just a number, whether it be NHS, passport, driving license, military service number, whatever it is. We each have a name. That name is connected to who we are. And for me, by the way, it's Steve. So if somebody comes up to me and calls me Stephen, I know full well they don't really know me, because somebody who knows me would not call me Stephen. Because Stephen, for me, has all sorts of memories of school and the rest of it. And I remember from here at Limbrick Wood, I went in to do a hospital visit one time, and I visited a lady, Rose Satterthwaite, if I've got my memory correct, of a certain generation. And I went into the hospital and said, "Could I see Rose, please?" And I checked out what ward, trying to check out what ward she was on. And they said, "I'm sorry, we don't have a lady called Rose Satterthwaite." And I said, "But I know her as Rose Satterthwaite. Could you just check? Perhaps it's..." And the person went down and checked. "Oh, we do have a person who's called..." And I can't remember her first name, but Rose was the middle name. And that's... But you see, Rose was what she was known as. I knew her as, and loads of other people know her as. And that's the thing. Names are important. And names sometimes tell us how much we know a person or not. And sadly, I've known children who've been given names of useless, worthless, never amount to much. That's not good. So either verbally or through the ways in which they've been treated, God is wanting to give them and give us a new name. Forgiven, son, daughter of God, overcoming one. Can you hear him calling you by that name today, this morning? Not the name that anybody else has given you that's an insult, but God's name, special name for you. Can you hear that? Maybe you need someone to help you to unblock the spiritual ears of your heart to hear that name, that tone of voice which Mary hears on that first Easter morning. Mary, Rabboni, she knows. My sheep know my voice. But sometimes we just need that reassurance of someone saying to us, yes, he's calling you. He's not calling the person next to you, he's calling you by name. God loves us so much that he's given his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him. Morris, move us on quickly because I'm definitely running out of time now. So what? And just bring up all the points. No fear means that we can be vulnerable, adventurous and generous with our time and who we are. Because if I'm not afraid of what others think, because God loves me, I'm not afraid of what the world's going to, what others are going to say, because God loves me, that means I can be vulnerable in sharing who I am. That means I can be vulnerable in actually admitting my weakness and not thinking I have to do everything myself. That means I can be adventurous in speaking to others, taking the step of speaking to my neighbour or my friend or my work colleague or, dare I say, my enemy. Do you know God loves you? And actually, with that struggle you're having, can I pray for you? Because I believe in a God who answers prayer. Have you done that recently? Have I done that recently? Sometimes we let fear get in the way. But we can be vulnerable, adventurous, and yes, generous. Or in other words, Christ-like. We can risk all in our service for him. Try it without a guarantee of success. So what are you, what am I finding hard to do at the moment? Speak out for him. Serve others. Be kind to that person who's being awkward. We can be generous, knowing that as we bless others, God says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine."
You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.